right, let's give our Lord a hand, our applause. In your Bibles, if you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 2. As you're turning there, I'm just kind of curious, how many of you already have all your Christmas shopping done? You had it done this summer. Raise your hand. No one likes you. I want you to know that. No one likes you. But how many of you are like, you're on the 23rd or the 24th, you're a Christmas Eve person. That's you. Okay. All right. I'll be praying for you. You like to sweat things out, I see. Well, here we are in Matthew chapter 2. We read some of this last week, but we're going to read a little bit here, all right? So hold on to your Bibles. But verse 1, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, and for thus is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in Judea, the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel,'" written 400 plus years ago in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And when he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' Then when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. And there was there until the death of Herod," excuse me, "that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all of its districts, from 2 years and under, according to the time in which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled, which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more.'" Father, we just come before you, thanking you for coming, being born as a baby, humbling yourself, making yourself lower than the angels, as Scripture says, coming to be born to be our Savior, coming to be born that you may grow and that you would grow and that you would die on the cross for our sins, and that you would show us that God does care, that you can relate with us, and that we have a Savior who knows the pain and the anguish in which we go through. So, Father, I pray this morning, if someone has missed the reason, the purpose for Christmas, that this morning they will see it. This morning they will feel it through your Spirit. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grinch is one of the most devious anti-Christmas villains. And I'm sure many of you have seen either the old movie or the newer movie that came out a couple of years ago. And why did he hate Christmas so much? We all know, because his heart was two sizes too small. And so the first, I think, movie was in 1966 when it first aired. And he's one of the top Christmas adversaries. We have the Grinch, we have Ebenezer Scrooge, and then maybe you never thought of him this way, but we have King Herod. We have Herod the Great. King Herod was a biblical Grinch. He was born around 73 BC. He died about 4 BC. The Bible says that he was the king when Jesus was born. And that's one of the ways we know that Jesus was born, somewhere between 6 BC and 4 BC. Sometimes people think that Jesus was born on year zero. Well, there is no year zero, all right? But that's approximately when Jesus was born. And I'm going to go into the reasons of why some of those dates are messed up a little bit, but it gives us an idea. Herod the Great, though, was a puppet king of the Romans. He ruled Judea, Galilee, and Samaria for about 30 years. He was actually elected king of the Jews by the Roman Senate, and truly began ruling about 3 years later when he killed the person who was in power there in Jerusalem. In the history books, Herod was known for two things: building huge buildings and being hugely paranoid. He murdered anyone whom he suspected might take his power, including his own family. I mean, he was a Grinch. He was a Grinch. He made his brother-in-law high priest, then killed him a year later. He killed his first wife and his second wife. He also killed another brother-in-law. At the age of 66, he killed two of his sons. And a few years later, before he died, he killed his third son. He executed him. And so Herod was a big-time Grinch. He was devious. He was paranoid. He was selfish. But did you know, not to compare us to Herod here this morning, but there's a little bit of Grinchness inside every single one of us. We call it our sin nature, our inner Grinch. Inside our hearts, whether you realize it or not, there's a spiritual battle going on. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you may not have realized that you were signing up for a spiritual battle, but you were. And in our lives, that when we get saved, we go from being in the darkness, so to speak, spiritually, to being dead, to being made alive, to being in the light. We go from being on the enemy's side, whether we knew it or not, to being on into God's family. And once you get into God's family, that relationship doesn't change. He loves you. He calls you his son or his daughter. Now, there can be times where our fellowship is broken because of sin in our life, but he doesn't cast us off just because every time we sin or we do something wrong. That's not who he is. But we're in a spiritual battle. And that's why, after you accept Christ, you still struggle with sin. Sometimes when people get saved, or they become a Christian, and whatever you want to say it, born again, they start following the Lord, they think, "Woo, all right, it feels good, it feels great," but then they start having some of these doubts. Does God really love me? Am I really a part of God's family? And they end up maybe doing something wrong. They end up sinning, and they wonder, "Oh, man, does God even want me any longer? Do I need to get saved again? Am I not saved now?" And they have these doubts and these uncertainties. I want you to know, it's part of the Christian life that once we get saved and we're living for Jesus, that we're going to still struggle with sin. Now, we're free from our sin nature. We have victory over that through Jesus Christ. But as long as we are connected and we're living in this body we have right here, there's going to be a spiritual battle going on. It's going to go on. And so you're going to have the battle between the spiritual, the things of God, and the flesh. Maybe you've heard it before because I've used this illustration. It's kind of an old illustration. It's not one of mine, but it's a good one nonetheless. It's a story about a missionary and an old Indian chief. And the Indian chief said, "Missionary, I feel like there's a black wolf and a white wolf that fight within my soul all the time. All the time they fight, day and night." The missionary said, "Well, okay, well, which one wins? Which one wins, Indian chief?" and he said, missionary, the one I feed the most. And how true that is in our lives spiritually. And you're in spiritual warfare. How can you win? How can you overcome? And you may feel sometimes like, I just disappointed Christ so much because I know he's not for that sin that's in my life. What should I do? Which one are you feeding the most? And that goes for every single one of us. Be in the Word of God. Stay in prayer. Stay faithful in church. You need those things in your life to build you up spiritually, to help you. You need those things. Even the Apostle Paul struggled. Yeah, the Apostle Paul. Maybe you're new to church and you don't know who the Apostle Paul is. I won't explain who Apostle Paul is, but I can tell you this. Of the 27 New Testament books, he wrote almost half of them. So if he struggled, then surely we struggle. That's what he said in Romans chapter 7, verse 21. He says, so I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Do you know what I'm saying? When you want to do good, sometimes it's like kind of like those old cartoons. You've seen them, like the angel and this little angel, and then kind of the little devil looking angel. That's not real, by the way, but we've seen that. We've seen those cartoons, and that's kind of what it's like sometimes. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. And so how do we conquer this inner Grinch that you and I deal with? How do we deal with this? Notice what the wise men did. Notice what they did at first. In verse 2, at the end, it says, for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. They went on a long journey. We don't know exactly where. Some think Babylon, because there was a time where the Jews were carried off there, and that there was Jewish people. We don't even know if they were even Jewish. They could have been Gentile. More likely, they were probably Gentile. I don't know exactly. But what I know is that they saw something. They were looking for something. They were seeking the Savior. And so they came to worship him, to worship the Savior. And so they had one purpose. They had one purpose in mind. And so when they first found Herod, the official king of the Jews, they pretty much said, we're looking for the king of the Jews, and it's not you. And for a guy who's an egomaniac, that was a crushing blow. That was crushing. Ouch. Especially to him. And so when Herod looked for the king of the Jews, he looked in the mirror, but when the wise men looked for the king, they looked for Jesus. So here's the first step to conquering your inner Grinch. Your first step is this: seek Christ as king. Seek him as your king. It's very easy to let our selfish nature rule our lives. And, you know, maybe to rule it. It's very easy from how, you know, just from what we're bombarded with in life, from advertising to products to going into stores. But maybe you think to yourself, I'm going to live to party. I'm going to live to make money. I'm going to live to play video games. I'm going to live to eat. I'm going to live to travel. I'm going to live to work. It's all the same. It means the king that you choose is me. Me, myself, and I. And the first step to conquering your selfish nature is to understand that we have a Lord who is worthy of worship. They said, we have come to worship him. The word worship is a word which means to bow down so that the forehead touches the ground. It's to show total respect, to have a posture of total obedience. Let me ask you, do you have complete respect for the things of God? Do you bow down daily and say, God, I'm here to obey, to listen to what you have for me? The first step is making that intentional decision that when you decide to worship Christ, that you're going to bring it before him. You're going to do it all the way for Christ. You're going to seek Christ as your king. Are you seeking him as your king? Here's a second step to conquering the inner Grinch. Is let Christ dethrone my selfishness. Our nature, separate from Christ, is basically selfishness. It's being selfish. It's pride. It's prideful. When Christ really enters your life, he does something new in your life. He changes your wants. He changes your desires. And that's one of the reasons you have the fight internally between the things of God and the things of the flesh. He changes that. Your selfish nature needs to get overthrown. But it's a process. It's a lifelong one. You may think to yourself, well, will I ever get to a point in my life where I just won't struggle with some of the things I struggle with? And listen, God can help you through His Holy Spirit and controlling you and helping you. He will. But if you think you ever get to a point where you're like, you know what? I'm good now. I will no longer struggle with anything else in my life. Ooh, look out. Look out. You're getting ready to hit a wall. You're getting ready to step off the edge. You just didn't see it coming because your pride and your selfishness got in the way. So maybe you're a new believer and you're thinking that to yourself. Man, am I never going to struggle? Nope. Nope. You ask any mature believer in here, me, anyone, any of our deacons, any of our Sunday school teachers, man, it's a continual of staying close to the Lord. This is my recommendation to you. It is stay close to the Lord. And I heard a pastor say, stay close and stay clean. Some good advice. It's good advice for our marriages. It's good advice for the workplace. You see all what's been going on with sexual harassment all over the place. And my goodness, what should you stay close to God and stay clean? Stay in the Word of God. Listen, a just man will fall, the Bible says, 7 times, but he gets back up. Listen, stay in the Word of God. Stay consistently in prayer and stay faithful in church. And if you get off the road you should be on by doing those things and having those disciplines and habits in your life, God's going to veer you back right on where you need to be. He'll veer you back where you need to be. And so you can do it. You can do it. And so when you accept Christ, it's going to affect your family life, your work life, your private time, everything. Your selfish nature is going to say one thing, and Christ is going to say another. Make a deliberate effort to let Christ subdue your selfishness. Verse 3 says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. He didn't say, I've been looking too. No, he didn't say, I missed it, but it seems that you have found it. I'm glad you brought it to my attention. I'm going to go worship with you right now. That's not what he did. His first reaction was he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem was disturbed. It's kind of like that old saying. Maybe it's how it was in your house growing up. If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. You know what I'm saying? And Herod wasn't happy. Therefore, everyone else was disturbed as well. He was disturbed. He liked his throne. He didn't want to be dethroned as the most important person around. I remember hearing a story I read the other day about a mother who had a birthday party for her baby, right? Had a birthday party for the baby, and she had her friends over, and so the party's going on, they're having fun, and finally, after a while, one of the ladies said, okay, bring the baby out here. And she went to go get the baby, and the baby wasn't there. And she freaked out for a second. And then she realized her parents had the baby. Her parents were watching the baby. She'd gotten so focused on her friends, so focused on them, that she forgot the reason. She'd forgot her baby being there. Christmas is kind of like that, isn't it? We can get so busy, we can get so focused on the present, so focused on what we're going to do as a family, so focused on our travel, so focused on so many different things, and be so busy that we can lose focus on what Christmas is all about. We end up focusing on ourselves instead of focusing on what we're called to do, and that is to worship the Lord. So the key to conquering that sinful nature is to allow Christ, allow the Holy Spirit to point out the selfishness in our lives whenever and wherever it occurs, and follow Christ, not your selfish thoughts. Let him overthrow the sinful nature. The next step of conquering your inner Grinch is this, is follow the word of God. Follow the word of God. Trust the word. Trust the word. Notice with me verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem to find Jesus, and he did not go. Why? Because Herod, he consulted the word of God, and the word of God told him that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Even Herod trusted the accuracy of the Bible. But you see, here's the problem. Herod trusted the word of God, but not the God of the word. He did not want to follow. He did not want to obey. He did not want to listen. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. You see, if we are going to conquer our selfishness, we need an absolute standard to follow. And that's not always popular in our society today. We can follow. We need some type of absolute to follow. Because when we say things like, well, I feel, or I think, what we are saying is that my thoughts and my feelings are the absolute standard that I'm going to follow. And a lot of people end up trapped in bad relationships, or dealing with guilt, dealing with addictions, dealing with anger, resentment, and dealing with the consequences of their own bad actions, because the primary operating system of their lives is, well, I feel, or I think. There's nothing wrong with having feelings, obviously, or having an opinion, but what are we basing those on? Where do we get our worldview from? The wise men got it from making a choice and putting it on Christ. Herod trusted the accuracy of the word, but went more with his feelings. He did not trust the God of the word. Instead of basing a decision on what you think, look into God's word, or ask someone you trust, what does the word of God say about whatever your concern is? You see, the word of God, it is our instruction manual for life. It is our guidebook for life. Why do things get so crazy? Why have we had some more of the craziness we've had in our society? Because we've lost our moral compass in life. And see, our moral compass is based on the word of God. We need the word of God. Just as I've said before, and many others have said as well, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. The greatest need that we have in the United States of America today is not necessarily getting back to the Constitution. It's getting back to the Word of God. Amen? It's getting back in the Word of God and finding our moral absolute and finding and having that relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we need. We need more of Jesus. We need more of him in our lives. And if Herod did right in following the word of God, then he totally missed the next step. Notice in verse 16, he does something that's, let's just call it what it is. It's pure evil. And I know there's mental illness in life, but some of the things that we call mental illness with some of these shootings, I'm not saying that's never the case. Sometimes it's just pure evil. And folks, we can't explain away evil. Evil is evil. And right here, what we're going to read is evil. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem in all its districts from 2 years and under, according to the time in which he had determined from the wise men. They say it was approximately between 20 to 30 toddlers killed. Let that sink in. It's a sobering thought. If you want to know how wicked and mean and evil Herod was, who in the world can kill children like that? He did. He did. He makes really calling him a biblical Grinch is almost an insult to the Grinch, right? But he was. He was a wicked, wicked man. You see, we see his true plan. Herod's true plan is revealed. Herod consulted the word of God to find the truth about the Messiah, but he used the information to oppose God's plan. Herod, King Herod, was appointed, human appointed, but Jesus, by divine, was appointed by divine appointment. And no one will mess up God's plan. You know, I love reading and enjoy studying, you know, prophecy. And let me tell you something. Our enemy knows the Bible. He knows what prophecy says. He may try to make plans to go against it. There's some who may say some of that will never happen, but as you read and you study God's word and you see how prophecies have come true and true, I tell you something. One day Jesus is coming again. One day he is going to land in, there in Israel on the Mount of Olives. One day there will be a battle of Armageddon. One day we will be in heaven, whether through death or through the rapture one day. Prophecy is true. It will happen. And no one can oppose it. They can try, but it simply will not end well for them. It's like Herod thought that by gazing in the Bible, it was kind of like the New England Patriots trying to steal someone's playbook, right? It's trying to, I'll gaze at their playbook and I'll look in that Bible there and I got it all figured out. I know what the next play they're going to run. But with God, he's not worried about you knowing the playbook. The enemy knowing the playbook. He's given us the word of God. He's given us the playbook. He's given us, in general, showing us, hence the word revelation, right? To reveal, to show. He hasn't kept it a secret. He hasn't kept it a secret. And here's the last one about conquering our inner Grinch. Embrace what God is doing. You also could look at it like this, is worship Jesus with total abandonment. Embrace what God is doing. On coming to the house, they saw that the child was with Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. When they opened their treasures, they presented with him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Notice with me in verse 11 here. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I mean, some of these things were very expensive. The gifts symbolized Christ's identity and what he would accomplish. Gold representing royalty, frankincense his deity, and myrrh the future of his burial. And these gifts also they provided financial resources for Joseph and Mary to go to flee to Egypt. God, he provides, and he provided for them, and he'll provide for you. When you embrace Jesus, when you decide, I'm going to abandon all, I'm going to follow the Lord. And as God works all around us daily, we are confronted with decisions to adjust our lives to join God in his work. And these three wise men had a choice to make. They could have said, well, that looks abnormal, that star there, but we're not going to go check that out. You know what? This is getting kind of hairy here. This is getting kind of dangerous. We can see that King Herod, he's not exactly telling the truth here, and I'm concerned about us getting killed. No, they were focused on worshiping the Lord. We don't know how many of the wise men there was. Maybe there was three. We assume three because of three gifts. Maybe there was three. Maybe there was five. Maybe there was ten. I don't know. But I know there was more than one that decided to come and to worship the Lord. Listen, the greatest tragedies in the spiritual life are those who only follow God halfway, just part of the way. Partial obedience is just another name for disobedience. And we need to abandon our own inner Grinch, our own selfishness, and completely live for Christ. So let me ask, who is your king? Who is your king? I mean, really, who's your king? Jesus? Or your inner Grinch? I pray that in each of our hearts, Jesus works this year. It helps our heart grow three sizes larger as we proclaim, as we follow, as we worship Jesus Christ as our only Savior, our only Lord, and our only King. And I pray that during this Christmas season, if you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've not humbled yourself and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to be your Lord and Savior. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Why not give your life to Jesus Christ today? Today, as we head off into 2018. You should do it. You won't regret it. Let's pray. Father, we come before You.